Well, first of all, say good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord today, and certainly thankful to see each and everyone that's come back to be with us this morning, and certainly thankful to see that the Lord has kept each and every one of us safe this past week, so that way we can be back this morning, not to only just enjoy one another's company, but to come here and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I've been looking forward to coming back this morning and looking forward to this morning's service, just looking forward to see what the Lord has in store for us, you know. I'm thankful for the good song selection that we had sung this morning. I really love the song, one of the songs we sung, "I'd Rather Have Jesus," you know, And I sometimes throughout my weeks will think about that song, you know, "I'd Rather Have Jesus," you know, and it talks about, you know, I'd rather have him than to have the wealth of this world, than to have a big palace to hold. I'd rather just be a beggar and to have a shack by the road than to have earth silver and gold. I believe Jesus even said one time, "Hey, so what profits a man if he gains this whole world, but yet loses his own soul?" You know, this morning, if you're lost and separated from God, you know, you might own half of Columbus, Indiana. You know, you might own all the wealth and riches and the goodness and pleasures of this life that people can have. But if you die lost and separated from God, was all that worth it? Not one bit. As that song says, I'd rather be poor, I'd rather have a little shack by the road, I'd rather have nothing else if all I have is Jesus. And I believe that not only needs to be an attitude of a sinner who wants to seek after God for soul salvation, but that needs to be our attitude as saved individuals, that our light can shine bright in this dark and sinful world. As you notice in the last song that we sung, Albert Brumley, when he wrote that song in the third verse, you know, it said that there's no other friend on who I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. We can't rely on anybody else this morning except Jesus Christ. If you're lost and separated from God and feel like the Lord is drawing you, you can't seek anybody else except Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You have to come to Jesus this morning. And those of us who are saved, we still have to go to him as well. That way he can make intercession for us on the Father's behalf. And so this morning, before we go any further in the Lord's service, let us do go to him in a word of prayer. I wonder if there might be any praise or anything upon anybody's hearts this morning that they just feel like needs to be said or done. And thank you, Sister Rachel, for following the Lord this morning. Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning they just feel like it needs to be said or done? If not, then we'll go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts for this morning. I do desire your prayers this morning as we try to stand. The weather has been changing on us, and it's been causing my sinuses to go out of hand. And I thought last week I finally got rid of it until we went down south, and it was 70 degrees down there. And so it brought it back. And so please be prayerful for me that this wouldn't be a hindrance, and that the word of the Lord could still go out and be accomplished this morning. But if you got your Bibles and you'd like to follow along this morning, I'm going to take a reading lesson out of the 13th chapter of the book of John. the 13th chapter of the gospel that is according to John. And I'm only going to read, unless the Lord changes our hearts otherwise, I'm going to read the 34th and the 35th verses. So that's John chapter 13, verses 34 is our starting point. And Jesus was doing the speaking here, and he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And this morning, if the Lord would be our helper, the thought that he has given us, if we had to place a title with it, it would be a loving servant. A loving servant. Brother Steve, a couple months ago, gave me a book, and I've been reading it here and there, but I know among the first and second chapter, the writer, he was in that book, he was trying to give a definition of what love is. And if you go and look up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary on that, or even the Strong's Concordance of it, you're going to find many and various meanings and definitions of that word, love. You'll find that it is also an emotion that is stirred within ourselves. But I like the writer's definition of it, and so this morning I'm just going to go with his, if that is okay, because that's where the Lord has placed our thoughts. But his definition of love is that it is a voluntary denial of self for the well-being of another or others. A voluntary denial of ourselves. And as I was beginning to think about that, we even recall in the book of Luke that a man went to Jesus and wanted, requested to follow Jesus. And Jesus had told him and said, if a man desires to follow after me, he must first deny himself and pick up his cross and follow after me. You know, throughout the last couple years, I have found out it is really hard to follow the Lord when all I want to do is try to please self. Amen? It's really hard to do anything in the Lord's work when all you do and all you worry about is trying to please self. There's even these thoughts that come to my mind when the Lord will tell me to do something or tell me to read something. There's even thoughts in my mind that say, well, what's in it for me? What's going to be the outcome for me if I do this, you know? And let me tell you, that is a pretty bad attitude for somebody to have. It shows that there's no self-denial in that whatsoever. But you see, Jesus in the book of Mark, he also told his disciples, he said, if you love me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you will deny yourself for me, if you will deny yourself for me, you will keep my commandments. You will follow after me. You will take up your cross. But first, it starts with you've got to get rid of yourself, your wants, and your needs for the cause of Christ. Now, I was thinking as Jesus here, he was giving this commandment to his disciples in the 13th chapter of John. He said that you love one another just as I have loved you. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples. See, if we read in the book of Amos, in the 8th chapter there, and I think it's along the 11th verse, that the Lord was telling Amos there. He said there was going to come a day that I will send a famine in the land. Now get this, he never said that it was going to be a famine of bread or a famine of water. But Brother Danny, what did he say? He said it's going to be a famine for the word of God. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I really do, when I look out there in the world, I do see that there is a famine in parts of our country for the word of God. Matter of fact, I know that we live in a world where Satan has had the minds of many individuals, but I still see people that is searching for something. I do see people that is wanting to know something, wanting to know what thus saith the word of the Lord. And let me tell you, there needs to be a people that they can look to and point them in the right direction. But you see, how are we going to make ourselves known to the world as Jesus' disciples? Love one another as Jesus had loved us. We deny ourselves. We are to give ourselves up for other individuals and for their needs, you see. I believe that it was somewhere along in the first letter to the church at Corinth that Paul was writing to them. And he said, when one part of the body hurts, all of the body parts hurt. You see, church, I'm telling you this morning that if one of our members has a burden and they're brokenhearted over it, that means we all need to be brokenhearted over it. If somebody's suffering, that means we all suffer with them because we are of the body of Christ. Amen. And what did Paul say? He said, if one part of the body rejoices, then all of them rejoice because we are of one body. We can't go on without the other. Have you noticed that? We need each other. Oh, folks, whether you want to believe it or not, I need you. You know, I do. I need you. I need your love. I need your compassion. I need your fellowship. I need your prayers. I need you. Just as much as we need the person right next to us. Because we're of the body of Christ. You see, when I think of the body and how it operates, there's a small toe on our foot. I call it the pinky toe. If you notice, I noticed, I think it was last night, Green Bay was playing whoever they was playing. And that quarterback there, I don't mean to bring sports into it, but the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, you know, somebody, I think a couple weeks ago, he broke his pinky toe, you know. And I think somebody ended up stepping on it last night. And you see, after the play had just gotten done, you start seeing him just limping, it was hurting. Not only that, but it made it harder for him to balance himself because the use of that pinky toe was limited because it was hurt. You see, this morning, folks, you might not be the arm, you might not be the leg, you might be just the itty-bitty pinky toe of this church, but you know what? We cannot go on without you. We cannot fight without you. We cannot operate without you. And I understand this morning, folks, I'm not trying to put anybody on par with God. You see, we can be the arm, we can be the leg, we can be the torso, but there's only one head, and that is Jesus Christ. And without him, we can't fully operate. But without our other individual body parts, it makes it even harder. It does. So, You know, maybe just for a brief little moment, we might need to deny our needs for a little bit and tend to the needs of others in the body. Maybe we need to deny what we want to attend to the wants and needs of the others. You know, and I know some of you might be sitting and say, well, now, Pastor, you're describing the pastor's role. And yeah, I pretty much am. But you know what? That goes for all parts of the members as well. How else is this world going to know Jesus' disciples, the church that Jesus set up, than the other institutions that this world has, and not only has, but is teaching a false gospel? See, I really don't get concerned a lot that we have, and I don't want y'all to think that I'm about numbers. I'm not about numbers, you know. If there's five people that came in church and really wanted to serve God, I'd rather be with those five people than to have 5,000 people and they just show up just for the motion. Just to be honest with you. I'd rather have those five people that's willing to work and wanting the Spirit to move than to have a room full of people and them not willing to set aside an hour or two out of their day for the cause of Christ. You know, but and I'm not saying that I'm about numbers. Don't get that wrong. I'm not. But you know what? There's a lot of so-called churches out there, and it breaks my heart whenever I see about 40, 50, 60 vehicles out there, and yet when you look on their online service, you know, they're not proclaiming the Word of God. They're proclaiming self. They're not proclaiming what Jesus said. They're proclaiming an ideology. They're proclaiming a false gospel. But yet those of us who know the true salvation plan, who know what it's like to really be saved by the grace of God, who know what it's like to be reconciled and to be brought back into fellowship with God ourselves, for those of us who know what this is like, why aren't we telling people about it? Matter of fact, why aren't people showing up? Maybe it's because the church has blended themselves in so much like the world that people can't tell the difference. Peter said, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Folks, we have a, you know, I was telling them in Bible study a couple weeks ago, you know, my mind goes back to a song that I learned as a kid in Sunday school and to a song that Sister Cheryl and Sister Treva are still teaching these little kids here. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, you know. I like to think about that sometime throughout my week, you know, that I need to let it shine, you know. God has given the church a light that needs to shine in the community, in the city, in the county that God has placed her in. But you know what? What good is that light doing when we're hiding it underneath a bushel? I believe Jesus also said at one point, he said, a man, when he has a light, you know, he doesn't hide it underneath a bushel, but he sets it upon a candlestick. So that way everybody that is in that dark room can see. I don't know about y'all, but you can clearly see darkness clouding the minds of people. I know I can. But you know, even though this world is dark and sin is clouding and Satan's clouding the minds of individuals, that does not give us a reason to hide it underneath a bushel. That does not give us a reason for us to just cover it up. There's people today in our churches, they'll say, now, preacher, I'm afraid to stand out. But you know what? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to stand out. He wants people to know a difference in us. I was actually thinking yesterday, we were with some of Bethany's family yesterday, and I was telling them, you know, and I think I preached on this last week, but I was telling them that I'm afraid we've become like a modern day Pharisee, you know. We're so hard-nosed in our tradition, but when God moves, we don't want to move with Him because it just seems out of the ordinary. And when I actually started thinking about that, I started to think, maybe that's why there's not as many shouters in the church like what there used to be. Maybe that's why people are afraid to come to the altar and pray out loud to God. You know, maybe that's why people don't want to testify out loud like what they used to. Maybe that's why people don't praise God like what we used to. And it's because when God moves, we're like, man, this is different. And I'm afraid of difference. I'm afraid of being uncomfortable. But you know what, church? I think we need to get used to being uncomfortable. You know, I often thought about this. You know, the mourner's bench here, you know, it's got some history in it about why we said it. Not only that, but why we call it a mourner's bench in the first place. That's because the Methodists, whenever they started building this bench, you know, they took three pieces of wood. They nailed it together. Matter of fact, if I'm not wrong, they didn't even try to sand some splinters out of that wood. You know what the reason was? Is because they felt like that if a person was mourning to God for their sins, they have no right feeling comfortable. And you know what? Some of y'all probably going to think this preacher's rude and this preacher's mean. But you know what? I like that. We got too many people comfortable. We got too many sinners that are lost and in sin that they're comfortable. You know, maybe we need to take padding off of these benches. You know, I notice whenever I sit here during the singing and for Sunday school that I get really comfortable. Man, that cushion's nice, ain't it? Maybe we might need to remove that. Maybe we need to get a little uncomfortable and uneasiness about us. Maybe then that's when God's people will start moving with the Spirit. I don't know. But you see, people need to move with the Spirit. People need to move with the Spirit, and people need to know a difference in God's children before this life is over. You see, I didn't mean to get on all this. That's okay. But you see, this community that we're set in, this is our responsibility. The souls that's out there, they're our responsibility. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, I ran past the quote, Charles Spurgeon said, he said, it's not our duty it is our duty to tend for those who are saved. But you know, it is mainly our duty to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and undone, because they're the ones who need to hear the gospel the most. You know, I know Christmas time, we spent time with our families, and I really do. I hope you enjoyed it yesterday. Hope you enjoyed it this past weekend. I really do. You know, sometimes I get a little uncomfortable when I talk to a cousin of mine, and I know that they're lost. And sometimes I get a little uncomfortable when I talk to one of them, and I know that they're saved, but they've been out of church for years and don't see a need in coming back. I get a little uncomfortable over that, you know? I get a little uncomfortable sometimes when I'm cutting hair at the barbershop, and all of a sudden God tells me, tell your testimony. I get uncomfortable over that. I get uneasy. I get uncomfortable whenever I'm with family, and all of a sudden God says, don't worry about them. Pray. Study. That makes me uncomfortable. You know why? because that's something that myself, my body, my fleshly mind does not want to do. But you know what, folks? As I've already said, maybe we need to get used to that point of being uncomfortable. Maybe we need to get out of our lazy boy recliners every now and then and walk and fix us a pot of coffee. But not only that, but while we're doing that, to check on a brother and sister who we know has not been to church in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. Where have they been? I'm not trying to sound mean. I hope nobody takes that. But I was, Brother Jeff for the association, you know, he done the minute thing for the church and the statistics of the church and sent them in. And I remember sitting there at Bethel this year and they were reading the enrollment of Friendship Church. And I think he said, membership 86 or 88, I can't remember. But I started to think to myself, where's all those 86 been? Where are they at? I didn't know we had that many on our roll books. Where have they been for the last year? I started to think about that, and I started to think, well, has anybody loved them enough to call them, to check on them, to tell them that we're praying for them? Whatever it is, you know, the best calls that I've gotten in my lifetime is when somebody calls me out of the blue. Says, Brother Barber, I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord just placed you on my heart, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. That's the best phone calls I get. Because it shows they care. They love. Folks, are we really loving the church and the body of Christ like we should? Oh, I know it's silent now. Oh, but folks, let me tell you this. People need, and I'm not saying they might see a difference or they should. I'm saying they need to see a difference. He said, by this, by loving each other, all men will know that you're my disciples. Last year, about last year, had Amanda text me as a client of mine at the shop, and he had sent something that was really vulgar, and I didn't appreciate it. So I texted him back, and I said, man, I said, I hope you know what it is that he posted something on Facebook about Kentucky beating Tennessee, you know, and it was very vulgar. And I told him, I said, man, if you don't mind, take that off my page. I don't like that. I said, the excuse I gave him was I'm a preacher and I don't really feel comfortable for people seeing that on my page. And he messaged back and he said, I'm sorry. I didn't know you was a preacher. You don't know how bad that made me feel. Oh, that made me feel guilty. It made me feel like maybe I wasn't living right around him, or maybe I wasn't talking right around him. And you know what? You might think that in your deepest, darkest, most private moment when nobody's watching you, there's always somebody watching you, folks. We ought to act like saved individuals. We ought to act like missionary Baptists when we're not around missionary Baptists. We ought to have enough love for Jesus to do that. And enough love for His body to do that. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, he had made mention of a brother who was used to the Jewish tradition. And he said, if meat make my brother to be offended, then I will not eat meat as long as I live. And I started to think about that. And you know, how many people are really willing to lay down their actions, even the very things that they eat, because it offends a member who is of the body of Christ?
How many people's willing to do that?
You know, I started thinking about this, and some of y'all probably gonna think it's silly when I say this, but you know, if there's somebody who comes up and says, "Brother Micah, your beard offends me," you know what I need to do? I need to be willing to go home and shave it plumb off. And that's just in all honesty. Because it offended them. It was a stumbling block in some shape, form, or fashion. And there needs to be a love planted within myself. Okay. Well, if this offends you, it makes it easy for me not to shave every day. But if it offends you, I'm willing to lay down what I want. So that way you can serve God better. That way it's not a stumbling block between you. I don't know where I'm going. That's okay. But folks, I've started to really, really question in myself. I've started to really do some question and do some prayer. Does the world see who we love? Do they really? If we say we love God, does it show in our words, in our action? Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, "Let your conversation be that of the gospel." Conversation not meaning by just how you talk, but your deportment. The way that you act and carry yourself, make it all be about the gospel, because that is our business. And that's our only business. You know, it is my prayer that God blesses friendship enough to where we're able to see a parking lot full of people each and every Sunday morning. But you know what, folks? It is my prayer that if that don't happen, that people come in the church, hear the gospel, and they get saved. Because that is what is most important. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, "Brother Jeff, pray for me"? You know what I do lots of times? I say I will. 5 minutes later, I forget all about it. Shame on me. If they had enough confidence for them to come up to me and ask me to pray for them, you know what? You know what I ought to do? I ought to have enough love in my heart to get down on my knees right there with them and pray at that very moment. Not just because I'm a forgetful person, but because they asked. You ever had somebody come up to you, and all of a sudden you wanted to start talking? They wanted to start talking about church. And then in the back of your mind, you start thinking, "Oh, well, these people ain't going to understand us." I do. I don't know. I guess God wants this to be an honesty time sermon. I don't know. Oh, but I do. I start thinking, you know, I told a person one time, I said, "Sometimes people shout at our church." And they're like, "Shouting?" And in back of my mind, I'm like, "Wait, that's too far, Micah. They don't understand." But you know what? That opens up a door for us to testify of the goodness of God. We read in Colossians chapter 4 that when Paul departed, he said, "Brethren, pray for us that a door of utterance would be open for us to meet, to speak about the mystery of God, which is in Jesus Christ." How many times have we gotten down and prayed and said, "Lord, open up the door for brother so-and-so or for sister so-and-so at their job that they can tell somebody about you"? It shouldn't just be, "Lord, I pray for me and ask you to do this for me" thing. When we're saved, when we're a part of of the church, when we're a part of a family, it is our job to forget about self and to ask God for others. Peter, in the book of Acts, chapter 12, he was thrown in jail. Thrown in jail for what? Preaching the gospel of Jesus. And the report went straight back to the church, to Jerusalem. And they heard of their beloved brother being in jail. So you know, that church, they could have just started crying and whining and saying, oh, Peter's in jail. That's it. That's it. But the Bible says in Acts 12 and 5 that when the report came to the church, the church fell on their faces, fell on their knees, and prayed that God would deliver Peter out of that. And God did. When was the last time that you cared for somebody so much that you fell down on your face and mourned over the situation that they was in? Mourned over what they were doing.
Amen.
Mourned that God would rescue them out of that. You know, if I heard a preacher say one time, if you truly loved me, if you truly cared about me, and you truly considered yourself as my friend, you would pray for me. And the same can go for lost souls. If we truly love them, why don't we mourn for them? Why don't we pray for them? I'm done. Some of y'all is going to say, that's the shortest sermon all year that Brother Barber's ever preached. I'm done. I don't know what God wanted out of that sermon, but I hope somebody found something. Church, are you ready to start feeling uncomfortable? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to, start mourning? Not just for lost individuals, but for saved individuals. For your family, not just your physical family, but the family that God adopted us into. I pray for friendship a lot, but you know what? To be honest with you, I need to also be praying for New Life. I need to also be praying for Hall Creek. I also need to start praying for the churches in our association. Because it's not just about us and who can see more people saved, but it's about the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ altogether. So how much do you really love one another, folks? I'm not saying that just so you can give each other a hug and good time of fellowship, but how much do we really love? Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as much as I have loved you. And by this, all men, not just a few, but all men, will know you are my disciples. Sister Rachel, get us a song if you don't mind. Let us all stand and sing. And let us perhaps think of what the Lord would have to do for us to do this morning.